south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
So, question for the ages. When is Mattel going to come out with a big butt, obese Barbie? Supposedly that movie Barbie's all the rage. I tried to watch it. I lasted about 10 minutes. I don't get it. Amazing visuals, but the intellectual content? Beyond vacant. Like a TikTok meme or a rap video. Speaking of big butt Barbies, something I neglected to mention in the last show when we were talking about the acceptance of fat and obese people here in Latin America. What I failed to mention, or maybe I just didn't have time for it, is that there's pretty much no fat shaming at all here in Latin America. I've been down here a long time, and I've never seen it. I mean, look, everyone's got one or two or ten obese people in the family here in Latin America, and up in the States too, right? Down here, it's just part of the mix. No one ever says a word against them. No feeling sorry, no poor thing attitude, no subtle hints, no dieting tips. The fat guy or gal in the family is just part of the mix. Like I said, as far as the locals go, no fat shaming. It's the gringos and expats who will snicker and do the eye rolling. You heard me mention on the last show that the word fatty or gordito or gordita is a term of endearment here in Latin America, whereas up in the States, it's a slam. But again, I just want to reinforce the fact that I see no fat shaming here, not amongst Latinos and Latinas. And man, there's some real whales down here, and guess what? That doesn't stop them from going out and cutting a rug on the dance floor. Man, I'll tell you, fat and obese people are not ashamed of being that way. They're not afraid or embarrassed to go out. They don't lock themselves up in their bedrooms. Funny thing, too, there are a lot of fat and really hefty guys riding those little rice burner motorcycles. I'll tell you, it's something to see. So fat, even really fat, is well accepted down here. It's not that they don't want to lose weight. Sure, anyone who's fat or obese wants to lose weight. It carries with it lots of difficulties, trials, and tribulations. So really, the fact there's no fat shaming is a good thing. Of course, no one's encouraging people to get fat and stay that way. Well, I take that back. The food industry certainly is. Funny thing is, I've been to many weddings here in Latin America, and lots of different countries, too. Now, where do you think most wedding photo shoots are these days? Well, mostly where it's beautiful, cheap, and free. On weekends, when you're driving around, you just might pass a scenic area or a park and see a couple in their wedding get-ups getting a photo shoot. That's so common. Practically every week I see an outdoor event like that. And you know, I can't help but notice, more often than not, the newlywed couple look like Laurel and Hardy. The guy's a skinny rail and the girl looks like Lizzo. You see the opposite too, where the girl's a skinny rail and the guy, well, he's just got to have his clothes personally tailored. So bottom line, down here in Latin America, being overweight or obese seems totally acceptable. No one, not even the health officials and government, are making any kind of big deal about it. There are no op-ed pieces in the media and the press concerned about it. There are no parent groups demanding for the removal of sugar and sugar products in school cafeterias. Even though on weekends, in parks, and at events, you see tons of little fat kids running around, even toddlers, wolfing down candy and sucking on ice cream cones. So you gotta wonder, is this gonna be, or is it, a big burden on the national healthcare systems here in Latin America? Absolutely. Fact is, since 90, maybe even 95% of all people in Latin America are on the national health care system. That means they don't have private medical insurance. And, of course, the national health care systems are all bust, with no solutions at hand except longer lines and diminished care. Yet no one seems to be wondering about that obesity ticking time bomb. Funny thing is, though, if you look at the demographics, you don't see any really fat or obese people here in Latin America who are over 60. Is that maybe because they've died off already? I don't think so. I think because that older crowd just ate better and more natural food. Remember, I came down here 30 years ago, and back then, the general look and health of the Latin American population was very different. I remember the first couple of years I was down here, driving every morning out into the boonies where I was building a house. I'd always pass three or four tiendas where there were a group of adults and kids standing around or sitting, waiting to take the chicken bus to go to school or work. and some of them would be sitting down eating breakfast. Always an egg or two, rice and beans, tortillas, a piece of fruit and some juice, real juice. Orange juice, pineapple juice, mango juice, the real thing. There'd probably be only one person out of 10 who was fat or way overweight. Kind of like the makeup of every classroom back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s up in the States. There'd be one fat girl and one fat guy. Everybody else would be what we'd call today lean or skinny. But nowadays, you take a drive anywhere in Latin America, more than half the people you see are overweight or obese. It's easy to see why, since their diets have changed so dramatically. Now, instead of real fruit and fruit juice, there's some kind of sugar water they call juice. And they drink that crap at every meal. And processed junk food is so cheap, people much prefer that over the time it takes to whip up some rice and beans. So, yep, there are lots and lots of fat and obese people here in Latin America. But fat shaming? Almost non-existent. By the way, I frequently get emails asking me about what's happening with good old expat Eddie. Well, expat Eddie had to go back to the States for a funeral. That happens, you know, as you start aging, right? So, when down there, he checked in with me on the Signal app. He said, Johnny, you wouldn't believe how things have changed in the old trailer park. By the way, Eddie's a trailer park kid from out in Texas. A few years back when his uncle died, he inherited his trailer. This is the first he's been back in 20 years, and the first time he's seen that trailer he inherited. He told me, all the people he used to know that had tiny little trailers have double wides now, with solar panels on them. My, have things changed. Keep in mind, Eddie hasn't been back to Texas or the U.S. for about 20 years. Sadly, though, people aren't getting any younger. By the way, he said at the funeral home, he got the evil eye from some of the old folks, some of the old-timers, neighborhood people. They still don't forgive Eddie for leaving the States. In fact, he said one of his uncles cornered him and said, Eddie, rumor has it you're a millionaire now. What's going to happen to all that if you die down there in Mexico? And how about those narcos? You have any run-ins with them? By the way, he never corrected his uncle about that Mexico thing. He'd rather the folks and family back home don't know exactly where he is. If they think Mexico, that's all right with Eddie. And Eddie, he's no fool. He knew what his uncle was getting at. He was prodding Eddie to make sure he got in the will. Or at least planting the idea to share the wealth with some of the folks back home. His uncle went even deeper and said, Eddie, if you die, how do you know those Mexicans aren't going to steal everything from you? Eddie said, Uncle Pete, no worries. I have a will. Then Uncle Pete said, hope you have a good lawyer, Eddie, and a couple extra copies of that will. So those Mexicans can't mess with it. And all the while, Eddie was thinking. Funny how, when he left the States 20 years ago, his uncle dissed him, called him an idiot, thought he'd lost his mind. And now his uncle's all concerned about his will. Isn't that comforting? Not only that, Eddie said at the funeral, a couple of cousins came up to him. Cousins who never gave him the time of day way back when. Suddenly, they were all buddy-buddy, acting so concerned about their long-lost cousin Eddie. They were hinting they wanted to go down to Mexico and visit Eddie. Yep, the word was out. The rumor mill pegged Eddie as a millionaire. Yep, Eddie thought things have changed in the old neighborhood, all right. Everyone wanted to pal up with him. Even his older cousins, who used to bully and steal from him and fart on his head. Funny, too, because Eddie had fallen out with all of them before he left. Now, everyone acted like his best friend. That's what money, or the whiff of money, will do to you. Eddie was right. The old neighborhood sure had changed. In 20 years, a ton of changes. Solar and double wides everywhere. The guys and the girls, too, he said, are double wide. All right, shifting gears a bit. You know, another thing that hasn't caught on here in Latin America, thank God for lag time, right, is this weird recent phenomena called dick pics. Let me tell you, I've talked to a few Latinos and Latinas about this, and Latinas are absolutely embarrassed and dumbfounded that such a thing exists. And Latin guys, with all their macho habits, are still quite reluctant, even turned off by the prospect of sending their dick pics to girls on the internet, or anyone on the internet. Funny thing I've learned about American versus Latino guys, American guys will often brag about their sexual conquests when they're with the guys. You know, so-called locker room and man cave talk. Lots of times it's just wishful thinking or BS, but they still do it. Now, Latino guys, for all their faults and machoism and playing around, they don't do the locker room talk. They don't brag about their sexual exploits. I know lots of these guys, and I've never heard them go on about that. Kind of strange, considering. So then, why am I even talking about this? Well, because remember in the last show we were talking about going on those Latin Cupid websites for hookups and dates? If you remember last show, I mentioned a Latina I know that nearly got scammed from an American guy who said he was an airline pilot, offered to send her some free stuff from the United Airlines Lost and Found, if only she'd pay him the shipping fee of $225 via Western Union. Nice scam. I'm sure it worked on others, but it didn't work on her, luckily. Well, that same Latina lady told me about how her and some of her friends that are on that Latin Cupid site get bombarded with vulgar and rude comments and dick pics. She said the dick pics aren't coming from Latinos either. She said the dick pics come almost exclusively from American guys. And when she mentioned it to me, she scrunched up her face and said, it's so embarrassing. She said, you're texting with some guy, it's going okay, and all of a sudden come the dick pics. She said it's happened to all of her friends that have been on the Cupid sites. It's just something ladies have to expect. Always, it seems, coming from perverted, frustrated, or exhibitionist American guys. And you know, it was a bit painful for me even listening to that, because for us baby boomers and millennials, who were born before the internet, even cell phones, the idea of sending naked pictures to someone, even taking naked pictures, has always been an embarrassing and even risky prospect. But it's true, I've had friends, couples, and relationships who would like to take naked pictures, usually Polaroids of themselves, way back when, before the internet and such. Most often, they really regret it because they came back to haunt them. I mean, look, who ends up with possession of them after the relationship disintegrates, as high school and college relationships usually do? Those photos can and do come back to haunt you. But now, in the world of dick pics, if not somewhat acceptable, it seems almost everyone you know has a friend or two who's been involved in something like that. Though, just the thought of it gives me and my generation the creeps. Well, let me tell you right now, Latina ladies are not at all into it. With the caveat being, if you're looking for a one-night stand, a Tinder hookup, with a slutty hoe, as mentioned so often in rap videos, maybe dick pics are the norm, I don't know. On the other hand, if you're talking about connecting with or hooking up with a grounded, normal Latina, someone you want to have a real and normal relationship with, the last thing you want to do is send her dick pics. Now, the Latina that I had this discussion with, her friends and her talk and complain about it. And they all wonder, why in the hell do guys do that? They say it's absolutely disgusting, asquerosa, as if that kind of lunacy is supposed to turn a woman on. Well, it does just the opposite. In fact, that Latina lady told me, even when you're talking about putas, one-night stand hookers and skanks, they're not turned on by dick pics either. So what's it all about? Are those millions of guys who do that stuff just stupid or totally clueless on how to captivate a woman and keep her interested? Well, you know what? I had no answer. I can't figure out the dick pic thing myself. But from what she told me and what I can see, it's probably the worst thing you could do if you're intent on hooking up with a natural, normal woman. Oh, and another thing that Latina asked me, she said, do American women like that kind of stuff? Again, I had no answer for her. I mean, look, with the amount of dick pic talk and traction on the internet, it's obviously a thing. Beats me, though, as to the psychology of it. But I'd like to know, so if any of you guys and gals out there in internet land can enlighten us or enlighten me a bit on this dick pic thing, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. No dick pics, please. The other thing is, this is the age of filters and Photoshop, right? Which brings us to another question. Do you know how to use Photoshop? I do. I'd say most engineering types and technical guys do. Here's an interesting point. I've never met a single Latin American who knows how to use Photoshop. Oh, sure, they all know how to use filters because you just press a button on your phone, right? But the art of Photoshop, the actual moving stuff around on a page, creating new documents and updating old ones. Even smart Latinos and Latinas with many degrees don't seem up on it. I just saw more proof of that yesterday in a news feed. Turns out there was a report out of the Dominican Republic where they caught three plastic surgeons with websites and media pages and offices and clinics, the whole works, who weren't plastic surgeons at all. They're just regular MDs trying to cash in on the plastic surgery market coming from the States. You know, there's huge medical tourism in the DR. Most of it, the ones paying the big bucks anyway, are people coming from the States to get that BBL surgery, you know, the Brazilian butt lift and liposuction, the whole works. Because what'll cost you $15,000 in the States will cost you $5,000 in the DR. And how do these Americans find these DR plastic surgeons? On the internet, of course. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I've seen these sites. They're absolutely overflowing with before and after shots of the surgery. Of course, the after shots are all perfect. That's marketing. Turns out it's really easy to copy someone else's before and after photos, create your own website and social media pages, and lure American women down to the DR. Turns out it's the plastic surgeons making all the dough, and the regular MDs know. A lot of regular MDs are just basically getting by. So some of them have decided to do the plastic surgery thing, even though they're not specialty qualified. But, you know, they're not going to hook any American prospects, get them down to the DR, unless they have a plastic surgery or cosmetic surgery degree. A regular MD degree won't cut it. So, in this report I saw last night, they outed three MDs in the DR who are doing plastic surgery like crazy on Americans coming down. All three of them had their diplomas plastered on the walls in their clinic, including that advanced cosmetic surgery diploma from, guess where? Venezuela. A diploma from a very highly rated medical school that actually exists. Though, you know, Venezuela's cracking apart at the seams, so just a phone call to that school is not going to get you any information to actually find out if a particular doctor practicing in the DR or anywhere else has got a legit specialist degree from that school. Well, guess how the reporters, the journalists, discovered the fraud? They made a routine appointment at the clinic, had an undercover camera take pictures of the diplomas on the walls. Then they compared the diploma, like the Venezuelan diploma, to the real diploma from that school, which they had a photo of. Well, they discovered some of the fonts and some of the letters were not the same as the legit diploma. Diplomas were missing a few seals and stamps. Anyway, needless to say, side by side, they did not look the same at all. Which instantly tells me those doctors that tried to pull off that fraud did not know how to use Photoshop. Because you see, if you know how to use Photoshop, the document can be absolutely perfect in every way. The only changes necessary using the Photoshop program would be the names and the dates. So just be aware of the fact that if you come down to Latin America for plastic surgery or any kind of medical tourism, that there are lots of MDs and general surgeons cashing in as plastic or cosmetic surgeons, and they're really not board certified in those specialties. So then how are you up in the States supposed to know, especially if you don't speak Spanish, while searching the internet? Well, it's really easy. All you have to do is find out where they have hospital privileges. If the doctor's just working out of a clinic and doesn't have regular hospital privileges in a big, normal hospital, or two or three hospitals, which is the norm, I'm talking about a regular old general hospital with 24-hour emergency room services. What I'm saying is this, and listen carefully. If the doc you're checking out is working just out of a clinic, a so-called cosmetic or plastic surgery clinic, that should be a red flag to you. If they're working out of a particular plastic surgery clinic and have hospital privileges too at another general hospital or two, that would be proof that the doctor's diplomas are not BS. He's legit. Because a general hospital will not give you privileges until they've done a background check on you and all your degrees. By the way, every big city in Latin America has a number of plastic surgery and cosmetic surgery clinics that are absolutely as first world as it can be. Now, most of those clinics have regular doctor's offices, maybe 10 or 12 doctors working out of that clinic, and they've got all the setup to do surgery there, too. Turns out those plastic and cosmetic surgeons like to set up those little clinics because then it's like a one-stop shop. That way, they only have to book the big hospitals for the larger surgeries. Well, here's a story to that effect. During the COVID-19 thing, I spent a week in an Airbnb in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. Happened to be in a residential tower right next to one of those high-end plastic surgery clinics. I used to see the ladies coming in and out daily. It was quite a parade. Getting dropped off in front and being helped in and out of taxis. Getting their regular checkups after their surgeries. Man, I'm telling you, some of them could hardly walk. Though, I have to admit, in many cases, the results were spectacular. Man, you wouldn't believe the befores and afters. Anyway, inside that little clinic was a laboratory, and that's where I'd go and get my COVID-19 PCR test. The test was cheap, $20. So I was in and out of that clinic two or three times. Heard lots of ladies speaking pure U.S. English, too. They were coming down and getting that surgery cheap. Now, next to the lab, where I had to sit for a while, there was a whole suite of ramen-jamming plastic surgery offices. And I remember, right before I was to fly back to Panama, I had to get a PCR test. I walked in there, and one of those previously ramen-jamming offices right next to the laboratory was completely vacant. It was gutted. Where just a few weeks earlier, it was balls to the wall. And I said to the nurse doing that useless PCR swab thing on me, "Why is that office vacant? Did Doc move out or something?" She said one day, with no notice, he just packed up and left. I said, "What do you think happened?" And she said in a whisper, "Some kind of investigation or demanda," which means lawsuit, demanda. You should write that word down. Demanda. D-E-M-A-N-D-A. Like demand. Means lawsuit. All right, moving on. Well, it happened to me again. I was sitting around at my girlfriend's mother's house. It was someone's birthday party. I don't know who. You get invited to those things all the time. Because, you know, Latin families are much more together on those things than American families, that's for sure. People were filing in and out. I recognized a few, but most I didn't. And suddenly I'm sitting on the couch next to a 22-year-old kid, a cousin to my girlfriend, who I guess I've seen around two or three times, but I can't even remember his name. But man, when you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail and you've got a Latina girlfriend or boyfriend, everybody in the family knows your name in a hurry. You're the odd man out, the sparkling gringo. So anyway, this kid whose name I can't remember starts talking to me. I'm bad with names anyway, really. You've heard me say that before. So as 22-year-olds will do, he was talking about stupid stuff and flipping through his cell phone. I don't think I was that dumb and superficial when I was 22, but maybe, who knows. Anyway, he was telling me about this trip he was going to take somewhere with his girlfriend, who he had a kid with. He wasn't married, and he wasn't living with her. She's living with the kid at mom's house. Typical, huh? I'm sorry, but I guess I'm an asshole when I meet people like that. You know, guys that have kids and don't support them and know they don't have to because the kid will live with mommy and grandma. That's such a common thing here in Latin America. Anyway, I've really got no use for people like that. In general, guys that don't support their kids. So anyway, he's babbling on and on about himself and his life, and I don't even know what he was talking about after a while. I was barely paying attention until he got to the point of why he sat next to me. I know he'd been building up to something. He asked me if I could lend him $300. But I wasn't shocked. I'd been through this before, man. It seems like every single time I've gotten to know a middle-class Latin American family, someone in that family tries to hit me up for some dough. Don't laugh. This will happen to you. So the question is, are you going to be a good, benevolent guy and give it to him, or are you going to try to get out of it? Oh, and by the way, since I get around a lot and I do a lot of walking and power walking and hit a lot of little cafes and sit down and talk to gringos and expats and locals too, I have to say it's not just Latinos you might know just casually that will try to hit you up for dough sometimes. Over the years, I've met a lot of gringos too who are down on their luck and try to hit me up for dough. Over the years, gringos I hardly know have tried to hit me up for $100, $200, even $1,000. That's when you know a gringo or expat is down on his luck. Last time I did that, I got ripped off. I lent $300 to the drummer in my band, a German guy, and he never paid me back. He quit the band and just disappeared, never saw him again. So what do you say to someone who wants to borrow money from you, knowing that chances you'll get paid back are slim? That's usually how it goes, you know. I'm sure that's happened to a lot of you listeners out there. Same old, right? I wonder, how many times have you been scammed? Thing is, if a person doesn't know you well and still tries to hit you up for dough, certainly, they've exhausted all other avenues. They're in debt to a lot of other people, and you're just the next in line. Now, there are two easy ways out of it. Unless, of course, you want to lend them the money, then you might as well look at it as a gift because you're probably not going to get paid back. And if you do get it back someday, it is a gift. So then how do you get out of it without causing a very uncomfortable moment and feeling like a shit? I found there are two convenient ways. One much less painful for you and the other guy than the other. Here's the kinder, gentler version, the one I used on the 22-year-old that tried to hit me up for $300 on Sunday. I said, so you want me to lend you $300, huh? No problem. Here's what I propose. I'm going to take a piece of paper and write down three names. I lent money to each of these three guys and none of them paid me back. So I'll give you these three names, addresses, phone numbers, emails, and I'll sign their debt to me over to you. No strings attached. Whatever you can collect from them is yours. By the way, I said, together they owe me more than $1,000, so you stand to gain big. Well, guess what? After the guy digested all that, there was a pregnant pause. And he, like anyone in that situation, recognized the secondary message in that proposal. The message is, of course, I've lent people money in the past and got burned. And that's the end. No more discussion. By the way, it almost never works when you tell a guy you've lent money to many people and no one's ever paid you back. They'll swear on their mother's grave they're not like that. They'll pay you back religiously, with interest. They'll even set a date and time, which will come and go. All right, so that's the first way to sort of diplomatically get out of it when someone's trying to borrow money from you. The second way's a bit more harsh, though not as harsh as saying, no way, Jose. At least it offers a little cushion to the argument, not a straight kick in the head. I'll say, look, I could say no and you'll be mad at me for a day or two and you'll get over it. and we'll still be friends. Or I can lend you the money, but I guarantee you, as soon as you miss a payment or are late, there goes our friendship permanently. By the way, ladies try to borrow money in a different way than guys do. Sometimes ladies don't come right out and ask you for it. They'll be talking to you and eventually get around to a sob story, like, there's not enough money for grandma's medicine, the washing machine or refrigerator's broken down, there's not enough money to fix them, etc. Those are the tricks I hear from so many gringos and expats who end up on those Cupid hookup sites. A girl they've been texting with, haven't ever met her face to face, they'll be texting away even on the very first day. The guy will text her saying, good morning, how's it going? And she'll shoot back an emoji of a sad face. He'll realize instantly something's wrong. He'll say, what's up? Why the sad face? That's when she'll say something like, oh, don't worry about it. I got a problem, but I can work it out. Which will make him more curious, and he'll say, come on, tell me about it. She might hem and haw a bit, but that's all an act. Then she'll tell him, grandma, she's in the emergency room. She might even shoot him a photo of an IV in grandma's arm. Man, those scammers know all the tricks. Then the gringo will ask, how much will it cost? What's the bill? And that's why Western Union and MoneyGram absolutely love those Cupid dating sites. So tell me about your own experiences with friends and relatives trying to borrow money from you. How many times have you been left holding the bag? How many friends have you lost in the process? I can count at least three, way back when, too, when I was living in the States. Meanwhile, here in Latin America, if I lend money to anyone, I always tell them right up front, this is not a loan, this is a gift. Of course, I'm not gifting people vast sums. You know, I'm talking about 20, 50, 100 bucks here and there. But I do make it clear it's a gift, not a loan, and man, do they protest. Like Shakespeare's cliche, thou doth protest too much. Because every last person I've gifted money to in that way, still will swear on the Bible it's a loan and they'll pay me back. Though I can't remember a single time when anyone actually has. Oh, and one last thing. Lending money to immediate family members, like brothers and sisters, that's even more treacherous, because when they don't pay you back, you can't excommunicate them from your family or your life. Here's a question for you. What do you do about a family member you lent $5,000 to, and he doesn't pay you back, but you don't mention it, ever? Then, 10 or 15 years later, you try to call in the debt, or you mention it, and he or she says, what are you talking about? I paid you back a long time ago. What do you got, Alzheimer's or something? And he sounds serious.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos!